Francois Fenelon was the court preacher for King Louis XIV of France in the late 1600s. One Sunday, when the king and his attendants arrived at the chapel for the regular service, no one was there other than the preacher. And King Louis asked, "What does this mean?" The preacher replied, "I spread the word that you would not be attending church today in order that your majesty might see who serves God in truth and who is just here to flatter the king. I ask each of us to carefully consider this question for ourselves. Why am I here? I know that in a number of people this size, it's always true that someone is here just purely out of a sense of obligation. You just feel like you got to come. Furthermore, if you don't come, somebody will want to know what's wrong. Somebody will want to know, where were you? Perhaps you have come for no other reason. It would probably also be true to say that there are no doubt some who have come out of little more than just habit. Maybe you've done this all your life. You just kind of feel like this is where you got to be. It's a rut, a routine, very little more. There's always someone who's come to see or to be seen, afraid they'll miss out on something someone's going to say or wear. Then there are going to be those who, if they were totally honest, would have to admit that they come for no other reason but to find out what the church can do for me. Oh, don't misunderstand, there is a tremendous lot that the church does for every single one of us. But if we've come for the primary purpose of what we're going to get, in his book entitled "I Am a Church Member," Tom Rainer says, "For too many people, church membership is about receiving instead of giving, rights instead of responsibilities, entitlements instead of sacrifices." He then points out that the local church is a place to serve, to care for others, to pray for leaders, to learn, to teach, to give. You know, in all honesty, that description doesn't match up very well with either the, what I call the sponge mentality, what's in it for me, or at the other end of the scale, that attitude that somebody has that I call the long distance or disconnected relationship with the church, where people just seem to want to show up and otherwise you leave me alone. None of those scenarios describes the right relationship with God, and certainly any of those reasons that we enumerated at the very beginning would be the wrong reason for coming here today. Interestingly, just this past Wednesday night, in the class in here in the auditorium with less than 50 people in the class, the question came up, What do you see as weaknesses of this congregation? And one of the answers that came from the class was the high number of people who seem not to be able to see regular attendance and participation as a necessary priority. If you were here, you heard it. If you weren't here, and if you are not in the habit of being here on Wednesday nights, then I think it's important that you recognize that this is a problem, not just that the preacher sees and harps on all the time, but it's a problem that someone other than the preacher in this congregation sees as a liability. Until we recognize and appreciate the connected nature of ourselves as a church family, including the connection that we make with one another when we come together to worship and study God's Word, we won't truly appreciate what being a part of God's family is all about. Our lesson this morning is entitled Worship Attendance. What's the big deal? In all honesty, some of the things that I'm prepared to say this morning are going to hit some of us pretty hard. I don't apologize for stepping on your toes if you need it, because before I step on yours, I always get mine in the process. Added to that is the fact that my responsibility is to proclaim the whole counsel of God. And this is a subject that I think we need to give some real attention to. But before we go any further, let's define what we're talking about and who we're talking about. We're not making reference to those folks who are unable, because of physical limitations and health problems, to attend worship service and Bible classes with any regularity. Poor health, frailty, shift work, those are things that are realities, and those are understandable. Rather, we want to think about those who choose not to attend worship services, those who could be here but decide not to come. I'm afraid there are some who seek every opportunity and excuse not to attend because they do not consider worship assemblies to be important. I've told you before about the two fellows who were on the lake fishing one Sunday morning, and they were feeling a little bit guilty about skipping worship services, especially since the fish just absolutely were not biting at all. One of them says, "Well, I see now I should have stayed home and gone to church." And the other one said, "Well, yeah, I guess so. But I couldn't have gone anyway because my wife's at home sick in bed." I want to begin this morning by commending you who are here. Your presence is an encouragement to me. And I think we all feel the same way about that. I hope you're planning to be here again this evening at 5 o'clock. And if you weren't planning on being back this evening, Well, maybe by the end of this lesson, you will. Our lesson text was read to us a few minutes ago by Douglas. I want us to read it again, Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 23 and going through verse 25. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The things that I've prepared to share with you this morning are rather simple. Our study will be to the point. In fact, there are three questions that I want us to ask and answer. And the first of those questions is this: why is worship attendance important? When we were kids, I know it was this way in my family, when I was growing up in a small county in northwest Alabama where there were at least 13 congregations and everybody always had a gospel meeting in the summer. And so the entire summer in the evenings, you know, was just about spent visiting other congregations and going to meetings. And the question would always come from us kids: why do we have to go? And the answer was always, we don't have to go. We get to go. We want to go. Why is worship attendance important? It's important because of my attitude. I believe there's something wrong in the heart of a child of God when he or she seeks every opportunity to avoid attending worship services or Bible classes. It seems to be one of those little indicators that things aren't just what they should be. We've been cleansed by the blood of the Son of God, who gave himself for us, suffering on Calvary's cross in order to pay the price for our sins. Back in Luke chapter 17, we read that story about the men who came to Jesus asking him to heal them, the 10 lepers, and Jesus did heal them. And when they realized they were healed, you remember, one of them came back and gave thanks to the Lord. And Jesus, in the text there, expressed what we could fairly call dismay over the fact that 10 were cleansed and only one came back to say thank you. I'm having a really hard time seeing very much difference between the 9 who failed to show their gratitude and church members today who fail to be in worship assembly at every opportunity. But specifically, let me suggest a couple of things. Worship is important because, number one, of horizontal considerations. Horizontal, this way. This and every gathering of our regularly scheduled services represents an opportunity for us to physically join together with other members of this great body of which we are a part. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says, Christ, for whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Do you notice how many together concepts there are expressed in those words? Being fitted and held together. The whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. That's not just talking about preachers and elders and deacons. It's talking about each individual part, every single member, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. A occasions like today allow us to renew our zeal in the presence of one another, encouraging one another by singing together, praying together, studying together, communing together around the table with the sacrifice of the Lord, giving together. If you want to get a real appreciation for the group setting of public worship assembly, just imagine being here all alone and doing every single one of those things totally by yourself. You think, I can't imagine that. It would definitely be missing something, wouldn't it? If you were the only person here, the only one singing, the only one praying, the only one studying or reading, the only one partaking of the supper, and the only one giving. I understand if you were in a situation where you were the only one, God would be delighted with your offering of worship. But think how much better it would be. In fact, if you were sitting there during any of those exercises of worship, you'd be thinking, I wish someone else were here with me. Because that's the nature of worship to God. You know that song we sing sometimes? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Those are not just empty words that happen to be written so they rhyme. Blessed be the tie that binds. And then there are the vertical considerations. Worship assemblies are a vital link between God and His children. We don't come here because we like to hear the preacher. Everybody knows that. Or because we need to punch the clock. Or because we need to pay our dues. We come here to be with Jesus. To be with one another. And to be with our Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. We need to be here because Jesus is here. I'm not trying to say that there is no other time that we are in the presence of Jesus. I'm not saying that He is limited to the walls of this building and you can only be with Him if you're here. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that when you miss an opportunity to be here and worship, you're missing an opportunity to be with Jesus. And our service in God's kingdom needs to be characterized by a thankfulness to Him and a loyalty that, listen carefully, I've chosen these words to the very best of my ability, a loyalty that lunges at every opportunity to worship and to learn of Him. Coming together like this strengthens our will, binding us closer to His will, recharging our batteries, as it were, so that we live each successive day, as that song says that we sing often, near to the heart of God. Now, I want to ask you something. Perhaps you've never thought about this question, but it's important for us to think about it and answer it. What happens to me without the church? I'm afraid we've kind of gotten the idea, some folks have anyway, that the church is sort of a take it or leave it thing. You know, it's okay if that's your thing, and if not, it's okay too. I promise you that's what a lot of our so-called religious friends believe. So So what happens to me without the church? Let me suggest a few things that Scripture calls out to us. In fact, all of these will be found in the book of Hebrews. Number one, without the church, I begin to drift. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. And someone's always very quick to say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's become a very popular idea these days, and I'm afraid we've kind of taken up the bad habit of answering things like that in a very soft, sort of ambiguous way, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to be offensive. Well, if that's your idea, I don't have to attend worship services in order to be a Christian. I may be about to offend you, but I'm going to tell you the honest truth right now. You can no longer be a Christian without... You can no more be a Christian without church attendance than you can be a fish if you don't live in the water. The idea that worshiping God and being a Christian don't have to go together is a lie of the devil. Don't let anybody mislead you in that way. You cannot be a Christian as God would have you be a Christian if you don't have the right attitude toward worship services. When you repeatedly forsake assembling for worship and Bible study, you begin a slow, steady drift away from the most important things in your life, away from your Heavenly Father, away from your brothers and sisters who love you and care for you, away from your appreciation for the Lord's sacrifice. Without the church, I will begin to drift. I will begin to doubt. Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. When we miss more and more worship and Bible study assemblies, we begin to lose that sense of security which feeds our faithfulness. And the more you miss, the easier it is to miss. If it's an attitude problem that's keeping you from being here, if it's physical, if you're sick and unable, you want more than anything to be here. But if it's willful, it gets easier and easier. One of the symptoms of spiritual weakness that begins to spread throughout our spiritual system is the shirking of our responsibilities and the blaming of others for our own failures. Ah, that preacher. Ah, those elders. Ah, that Bible class teacher. Without the church, I become dull of hearing. Hebrews 5, verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. You know what that means? You just don't want to hear it. You just don't want to listen. Without regular and steady exposure to fellowship and teaching and preaching and interaction, our spiritual senses become dulled and we lose our appreciation for those things. In Bible class this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, we talked about those whose consciences are seared as with a hot iron. When we become dull of hearing, our senses are dull. Sin becomes easier and easier, and with each missed opportunity for worship and Bible study, we need worship assemblies to keep us strong. Without the church, I begin to backslide. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For in the case of those who've once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. I think some folks feel like a child of God cannot fall. Again, that's a lie of the devil. Without regular attendance, we lose ground on every front. God gets distant. Satan gets closer. Now, just very quickly, let's turn this thing around and ask another question. What happens to the church without me? There's more to this than maybe you've been giving yourself credit for. Without me, the church is left without defense, so far as I'm concerned. Did you know that Satan hates the Redland Road Church of Christ? He does. He absolutely despises every aspect of it. He hates our teaching. He hates our outreach. He hates our website. He hates our mission works. He hates everything that we do. He hates our food pantry. He hates it all. He cannot stand it. He hates every single member, and he wants us more than anything to be lost and to go to hell. When I become negligent in my attendance, he loves it. It makes him ecstatic because it means that there's one less credible voice for the kingdom, one less soldier fighting the battles of sin. I heard about a little old man who was seen walking to church services every Sunday morning early. Everybody in the community knew he was deaf as a post. He could not hear the first thing that was going on around him. And finally, someone who could speak in sign language, asked him, "Well, why do you even go to church? You're so deaf you can't hear what's going on." He replied simply, "I want my neighbors to know which side I'm on." The church is left without defense, without me. Without me, the growth of the church is hindered. We read that passage from the book of Ephesians a few minutes ago that talks about all of that working together and supplying from every joint. We each hold the power within us for the progress and growth of God's kingdom in our own area of life. A lot of times people will ask me, "Well, how many do y'all have in your worship services at Redland Road?" And I'll say, "Well, you know, on Sunday morning, on a good Sunday morning, we might have 135, 140. But, you know, on Sunday night, about 35, 40% of those don't come back. And Wednesday night, it's a little bit worse than that. Have you ever thought about the fact that if you don't attend regularly, so far as the growth and the strength of this congregation is concerned, you don't count? Now, I'm not being ugly, I'm not being mean, but I'm saying that if you are not a faithful attender, then the growth and the progress and the strength of this congregation, well, you really don't have any part in it. You don't have any part in the strength of this congregation. If you're not faithful in your attendance, you're the opposite. And so that's why I say that without me, the growth of the church is hindered. That could be one more strong, faithful member. But we can't count that one because they're not strong. They're not faithful. It's not all about numbers. I know that. But that is a pretty good illustration of how important every single one of us are. Without me, that's one less recommendation for the Lord's cause. My faithfulness to defend and promote the church is hampered by my unfaithful attendance. I'm probably not going to be the guy that people look to for spiritual leadership if my attendance to worship services isn't regular. If I'm not faithful, that's one less recommendation. As we close, I invite you to join me as we take a quick look at the way the early church was described. First of all, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, pay attention to every word because every word is important. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. A little further on down in that chapter, it says, and day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord. Those are the terms that were used to describe the early church. You know, we're big on saying we want to be just like the church we read about in the New Testament. Do we? Please give some thought to the importance of worship assembly. And if you've been treating it as though it just didn't matter, I promise you it does matter. It matters to you, and it matters to all of us, and it matters to the Lord. If you're not a child of God, the New Testament is clear regarding what you need to do in order to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and have your sins washed away. Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. If you've done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back and be restored? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we sing this song to encourage you and invite you to come as we stand and sing.